Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
The Morning Scramble, Wednesday morning. The end.
Ta-da! We did it. Made it. Halfway through the week.
Bang. There is a...
What? What's wrong?
Nothing wrong. I was looking for an example of something I wanted to share with you. There's a classic mellow song by James Taylor.
Yeah?
It's called Fire and Rain. Have you heard it before?
I don't know.
Give you a little flavor here. I bring it up because that's exactly today's weather forecast. A little
fire.
Mix of fire and a little mix of rain. It's a rumor like it's about a friend of his going to a mental hospital.
Uh-huh.
I bring it up because with all of the wind, we still have fire potential this morning. And then tonight is when the rain's coming through.
We're going to get all that rain.
Yeah. So it is literally a day of fire and rain. In all my years of doing weather, I don't think I've ever had a fire and rain day until today.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Today has it all.
It does. Fire and rain.
Wow.
I know.
So you've got the fire risk this morning.
Yes.
When does the rain actually start?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Because I kind of mentally, dressage-wise,
yeah,
kind of prepared for a rainy day.
How so?
I grabbed a cardigan.
Still going to get wet, though.
I know, but
does
I thought—
Does it repel water?
No, it doesn't. But okay. I thought, Taylor Swift-wise, I want to be cozy. It's
understood
hot.
Completely.
I woke up. I was like, I'm hot. I was hot all day yesterday. It's so, like— Just like
it's muggy
and the air is thick. And I still woke up and like my house is still kind of muggy, even though we did turn the air on.
We turned ours back on as well.
It's
so
gross.
Just like how yesterday ended, 15 to 25 steady on the wind speed, 40 mile per hour gusts. As far as the rain potential, I would say in our area, we're in a window of about 3 to 9 p.m. 3 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay. Somewhere in that window.
And we are in also a window of experiencing anywhere from 1.5 inches to possibly up to 2 inches of rain. It's going to be a drencher.
My goodness.
I know.
But we so need it.
The ground's just going to soak it all up.
This plus, really.
Yes.
I mean.
We'll take it.
Wow. Yeah, we will. We will.
And get it out of the way, right? So you can trick or treat. Now, the wind's going to kind of linger again tomorrow. But again, no precip to worry about when it comes to actual Halloween night. So that's
okay.
Good.
That is precisely what I needed to hear.
Yes. So fire potential, just because an open flame, a spark with the wind and the dry could cause something this morning.
Uh-huh.
And then the rain's going to come in late this afternoon, anywhere in that 3, 4, 5 o'clock range till about 9 o'clock in our listening area. A dose of fire and rain today.
What a wild day.
That is a wild day.
Today's got it all.
Yes.
It's got fire. It's got rain.
It's like a hot new nightclub in New York City.
I know. It's got all that drama. Today we'll bring it all.
The newest nightclub in New York City is called Moist.
Why they call it?
It's got humidity. It's got wind. It's got fire potential and rain.
Why did they call it that?
Moist.
It's called Moist.
Moist. Moist. Moist.
Why do they say it like that?
I don't know, Stefan. Why?
That's just the name of the club.
That's the name of the club.
I didn't name it. That's just the name of the club. And it's hot.
It is people who aren't returning, who are returning things to Hy-Vee without receipts.
Little gremlins. There's like sandwiches on sticks.
And sticks on sticks. It's called Moist. Is it true he didn't know what he was reading until they...
Nope.
He went into that cold.
Yeah, comedian John Mulaney was the writer of the sketch. He would write all the stuff and he wouldn't tell
Bill Hader
what was going to be on the cards. And then Bill Hader would just read it and...
It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
It was so much fun.
It was also funny to see if he was able to read it without laughing.
Never. He could never, ever do it.
Because it was all just bizarre.
The great character.
Bizarre garbage. I'm going to bring you all the bizarre garbage in Z Sleaze
today,
too.
Do we have a lot of bizarre garbage today?
No, I mean, we got some serious stuff right out the gate. Lost a legend. Terry Garr.
Yeah, I saw that mid-afternoon yesterday.
It escaped me until this morning. I didn't even see it.
I think still one of my favorite movies is Mr. Mom.
Really?
Yes. Where her husband works for the auto industry in Detroit. He gets laid off. She has to take a job at an ad agency. And it's the funniness of him trying to be a house husband. And also the reality of what was it like for women to enter the workforce in the 80s.
Yeah.
It was hilarious, but also had a good point at the same time.
I discover her out of like chronology.
Yes.
I think I first kind of noticed her as Phoebe's mom, honestly, and then kind of discovered all the other works.
Then you get a young Frankenstein in there.
And then watched Young Frankenstein. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, I know her.
Good comedy chops.
Absolutely. Hilarious, hilarious woman. So we'll pay tribute to her in Z Sleaze at 6:45. And then, shocking news, Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz have called off their engagement.
Do we know why?
Well, we'll examine in Z Sleaze at 6:45. And if you want to win $100,000, you better get on it quick.
Does this involve 100 grand bars? Do I just have to eat 100 grand, 100 grand bars?
If only it was that simple.
I would tell everyone else to go home.
No, there's a competition, and I didn't see the announcement of it. Otherwise, I would have told you about it sooner. But
yeah,
right before Halloween, we got to get it in under the deadline, November 1st. If you've got one of those Ring doorbell cameras, Ring Doorbell is doing a contest for Halloween. They're calling it the Great Ghost Search.
Just looking for anything captured on film.
Uh-huh. They want proof of a ghost on camera.
$100,000?
$100,000. Whoever can come up with undeniable footage, you will get $100,000. They did give us a month. They announced it, and then, like, you have a month to come up with some stuff.
Who's making the call on this? Are they getting paranormal investigators or just people with good eyes?
It just says they're video judges. I don't know who the panel of judges is. It didn't say, is it a judge of paranormal experts?
It's got to be at least one paranormal expert.
Doorbell camera experts? I don't know.
Probably a scientist who understands how light works, right?
Yeah, somebody who
can debunk. How reflections go.
Like, that's not a fake one. That's a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're also going to be looking for they're going for the undeniable, like, real stuff.
Yeah.
But if they don't come up with any real stuff, they're going to go with unique and entertaining, whatever they get most of.
It's just a great way to get people to submit footage from their camera.
Exactly.
And then have some, they basically have commercials now for the next year. Enjoy.
True.
Right.
The two main rules are it has to be 30 seconds or less.
Okay.
And it has to be filmed on the actual Ring camera. So
right.
If you've got, like, the Amazon Blink or a Nest cam or any of the other
Or you can't fake it on your phone.
No.
And then make it look like it's black and white.
No, they need it to be on their device. So anybody else, get out of here.
I look forward to seeing what the evidence says.
Please come
up with
that.
As a couple of people who just ghost hunted on Monday, right?
Present that evidence to the Ring people, please.
Maybe next year we can get in on 100 grand.
That'd be awesome.
I'm still up for eating 100 grand.
You know what?
I'll take that challenge any day of the week.
In lieu of our evidence being on a Ring camera, we're just going to have to eat 100 grand on a Ring camera.
Okay.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I got some news yesterday, Eric. I finally broke down. I've been having some foot pain for probably 2 years.
Remind me, this is an area where you had a fracture? Is that right?
I thought I did.
Okay.
Okay. I was, like, doing some running, and then I was like, well, okay, my foot hurts, so I'm just going to, like, wear a boot for a little while. It felt a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm just going to do some, you know, lighter activity, and it started hurting again. I was like, gosh, I should probably go to a doctor.
Has this been the last 2 years you're telling this?
To myself.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I'll just use some ice. I don't want to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear that stupid boot again. It's such a pain. It is very inconvenient. And it's on the foot that I would use to drive. I don't want to wear that stupid boot.
Understood.
Okay.
You already have a lead foot. Am I right?
Hey.
Who am I looking at?
Hey, guys. Who's with me? Guys. So I finally just did it. I went to the foot doctor and I was like, hey, foot doctor, I think you're going to tell me that I have a stress fracture and then I have to wear a boot and it's going to be a whole thing. And they took some x-rays and they looked at my foot and she's like, hey, you don't have a stress fracture.
Yay!
You do.
Have a?
However, have high arches.
What does that mean?
I have to wear inserts in my shoes now. I've got new boogie shoes.
Is this something you develop over time?
I think it's an old lady thing, because as I looked...
Okay, you said it. I wanted to say it.
I looked around the waiting room, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, because...
So are these like orthopedic inserts?
Yeah.
Do you have men right now?
Yes, I do. And my feet feel fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what? Aging gracefully. And you know, it's going to fix the rest of me, right? Because now I finally, you know.
So do you have to have inserts in every shoe you own now?
I have to take them out and put them in every shoe.
Nice shoes.
Yep.
Heels.
Yep.
Running.
Yep.
Okay. Are you going to be the lady that just wears tennis shoes to everything?
That is correct.
I want you to be that lady.
That is now me.
Thank
you. Yes.
Welcome to the club.
I got a list of the do's and don'ts of shoes, and I got to get better.
Arch supports.
Better shoes.
But hey, no fracture.
Hey. I just have to wear special inserts in my shoes.
Is that why you're wearing a cardigan today?
That is also why I put on the cardigan, because I'm an old lady, you see.
Thought I saw Kleenex in your sleeve.
That's where I keep it, because I will need it. Things drip.
Claire, today is your lucky day.
Oh, good.
Today is about showering you with appreciation and presents.
Oh, good.
I gave you a gift this morning that I won't let you talk about.
I can't say.
Because Shannon is getting the same gift later this evening. You remember that scene in Napoleon Dynamite?
I caught you a delicious bass.
Just yes, I do.
For no apparent reason.
There's no reason for that line to be said, but I love it so much.
I would like to present to you this wadded up paper towel.
No.
Would you like to guess what the contents are of this wadded up paper towel?
I don't want to.
Claire?
No. I don't want to open it.
I killed the centipede. I killed the centipede this morning. And I would like you to have the trophy.
I don't want it.
But do you want to see the evidence?
No, I don't.
Do you trust me?
I trust you.
Okay.
I trust you.
It's dead, squish dead.
Okay.
Super squish dead.
I trust you.
Okay.
Don't.
But I did it in your honor.
Thank you. Throw it away.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
On Z102.9.
7:01 now in the Morning Scramble. The Old Wine City Council approving a request Monday for a leave of absence for at-large council member Karen Cedars. You see, Karen Cedars has been arrested at home on October 18th for felony drug charges.
Oh.
Council is now considering honoring her request for leave of absence or removing her from the council. Iowa law says only a city council or district court could remove her. City attorney, though, says maybe not now because right now, right, she's just been accused, not proven guilty. So they might have to wait until the trial to decide if she stays on or not. Her point being, I was elected by the people. This is separate from that, right? So just kind of keep my seat open until that gets resolved. City council is, I think, thinking we have an open seat on the council. The business of the city continues.
But we have business.
Yeah, to go through. So we'll keep an eye on that story. Iowa Lakes Community College in Northern Iowa planning to expand their aviation and airport program. They got $500,000 nearly from a grant from the FAA. They're going to include a course on flying drones for high school students in the area.
Cool.
Just the five counties touched by Iowa Lakes. First class scheduled to start in early 2025. And wrapping up the buzz with some sports shorts. It didn't.
Sports shorts.
Do it a cappella.
Sports shorts.
Cyclone fans are getting very, very anxious for the end of the season. They're having a heck of a year.
Oh, yeah.
But they're a little, I don't say miffed, but so they got a game this week, right? We know Iowa State is hosting Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And if they win, it's going to be the best start to the program ever. It's the game next week everybody's looking at. It's Iowa State versus Kansas.
Yeah.
At Arrowhead Stadium, where the Chiefs play. Cool, right?
Very.
They don't know the kickoff time yet, and everybody's getting a little antsy.
Mm-hmm.
There's this little loophole in all the big conferences that you have to announce the game times 12 days ahead of time with the kickoff and the TV.
Oh.
Unless the TV stations are like, well, we could have a really good matchup here, so we can hold back a few games, and then it's called the six-day rule. So Cyclone fans will not know until 6 days before the Kansas game what time the game is.
Okay.
Which isn't the worst thing in the world. But if you're driving down to that game to enjoy a game in Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's a little inconvenient.
You would like to plan that out ahead of time. So they're in the midst of negotiating. But they know it's either Fox or Fox Sports 1. But the Cyclones are now the developing story right now in college football. And that the TV stations are like, hey, the networks, it's for us to try to get ratings too, right?
It's going to be a good game.
Yes, we're paying you for the broadcast rights. We should have a little say on when we get to put it on our air. So we're just sitting and waiting, trying to find out when Iowa, Kansas is going to be at Arrowhead Stadium. That's going to be a cool atmosphere. The problem is, if they like the stadium wants it early, because there is a Chiefs game on Sunday, so more time to like clean the stadium,
move things around.
Yeah. If the field needs a little
clean
repair, but like night games are cool, late afternoon games are cool.
They sure are.
Still waiting to find out on Iowa State in Kansas, but the Big 12 said, 6-day rule. Sorry, guys, you just have to wait a little bit longer.
This is the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Morning Scramble. Amateur ghost hunters at your service.
I think it's the Scooby-Doo people.
Yeah.
And then we're below them.
That's where we fall in the hierarchy.
We're
behind Scooby and Shaggy,
yes,
in terms of ghost hunting investigation skills. Just a little spooked, just a little scared, but brave enough to head over to the Ideal Theater and Bar on Monday night to do a little bit of investigating and see what we could see at the Ideal. And we did pick up some
presents,
some energies. And while we're trying to go through all that we recorded, all that we were able to pick up from our experience there, we thought it might help us understand what we were able to pick up if we understood more about the history of the area. The Czech Village and Nubo areas are so rich in history, and nobody knows Cedar Rapids history better than Cedar Rapids historian Mark Stouffer Hunter, and he joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Mark, so great to make some time this morning for you to join us on the Morning Scramble. We were in the Ideal Theater on Monday night. What's the overall background of that building?
Well, it was one of many, many silent movie theaters that opened up around that time period. It dates to 1914, and it was one of three movie theaters that were built in what's now the Nubo area. So in those days, local families could build and own and operate their own, like, family-owned movie theaters. And this was run by the Schmidt family, who had earlier built the building where Bomax restaurant is, right across the alley from the Ideal. And they thought, hey, let's put up a movie theater. And this was the days before the real big theaters where the movie studios were involved. And when a family opened up a movie theater like this in Cedar Rapids, the family had to come up with a great name to get customers. And they thought, well, what better name than the Ideal, or the best theater to go to, or the most ideal theater in Cedar Rapids.
So that's how it started.
Yeah, I love that they've held on to that name. That's awesome.
I had no idea that that was the historic name.
Yes.
So if you,
a lot of these old theaters,
yeah, go ahead,
would put their name in the sidewalk to make sure the Ideal name was there.
Which it's there. If you look, they've got that really cool pattern.
As we were walking out.
Near the box office.
So
when they opened that, was that then kind of a street or two away from all of the Sinclair factories? Because wasn't there a lot of manufacturing kind of back in that Nubo area as well?
Oh, behind it was the Sinclair meatpacking plant. The slaughterhouse was back there. So you have this movie theater, this Ideal movie theater, and on an hourly basis, you've got cows and pigs going to market right in front of the movie theater.
Oh, my goodness. So, it's an ideal spot for humans to go, but not so much for the animals.
Well, you know, when the animals see the Ideal, they know that's it.
That's the last thing they see before they go to the meatpacking. Well, I'll tell you this. It seemed that all of our experience or interactivity with maybe anything in the Ideal, no animals.
No,
that I can recall.
I don't think we made any connections.
But we were in the cellar for a while. Now, is it true that were all of those buildings connected by tunnels?
Oh yeah, they had tunnels connecting. They all ran on the old steam system for one thing, so there were tunnels kind of connecting that. And there probably was a connection because the Ideal was connected across the alley to the what's now the Bomax building, because they were both built by the same family. And they would also have tunnels for, you know, basement deliveries and just a general, that's how people used to get to the basement. You went outside and then you went in the basement from the outside. You know, you didn't go to the basement from the inside all the time. So there's lots of reasons why those would be there, but I don't think it was for secret animal, escapes and things like that. I don't think so. You know,
do you know, Mark, anything about the flood of, was it 1919? Did that impact businesses in that area?
Oh, really 10 years later than that. 1929 was
29,
the real big
that's
one
it.
They 29, had.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one in 1917. Yeah, so about the time the idea was getting started. Yeah, it would fill the streets there and go into, probably covered up the ideal tiles there. So there would be always a level of flooding that would at least cover the sidewalk and get up to the front doors of people's businesses like the ideal.
Yeah, one of the words that we heard in the basement was the word flood.
Flood came through. And
then
like,
can't hear.
Can't hear, flood.
Yeah.
And those were words that were like, ooh, that's kind of spooky, and we don't really know what they mean. And we know, certainly in the last, you know, however many years that we've experienced flooding in that area, but we didn't know how far back flooding goes in that area.
Well, yeah, and remember, in more recent history, the Ideal is one of the few buildings in Newville that's gone through two recent floods.
Yeah, it's true.
Because not only 2008, but then that side of the avenue got water in 2016 again, you know, just in the fall. And so it's probably, it could be the building itself saying, tired of being flooded, you know.
The building itself, like, we're done with it.
Enough water.
We're done with
please.
It. Get the levee built so yes. get the flood wall done so I can stay dry.
Mark, as you kind of look across the history of all of Cedar Rapids, the four quadrants, is there one part of town that sticks out more than anyone else as far as what you've heard in terms of urban legends, lore, possibility of things being haunted?
Oh, it's definitely down in the along the railroad tracks in the downtown area, just because a lot of the old speakeasy prohibition things that went on during 1920s, the old theaters, the old hotels, the lurid stories of what was going on in the hotels and the old theaters and the old prohibition bars and taverns that were hidden in basements. You know, doorways under dumpsters, these kinds of things, you know, I mean, it was just under trash cans. So a lot in that particular area and into the really into the Newville area. I would definitely say along the railroad corridor into the Newville area is where there's a lot of that spookiness. And near the downtown area, it's really spooky around Fifth Avenue. We're just up the street from where Kathy's Pies is, because that's where the original cemetery was for Cedar Rapids.
What?
Oh,
over
yes.
What, Kathy's Pies?
Do we have a poltergeist
yeah.
issue?
Well, not exactly where you get your pie, but just up the street from there, between 7th and 8th Street, is where the original Cedar Rapids Cemetery was. And then they moved everybody to Oak Hill. At least we think they moved everybody.
Oh!
Oh!
That's a little frightening.
Who thought, let's just move. Well, I'm glad they moved it. But
well,
what
you know, people were given so much time to move their family members, and some did, maybe some didn't. But if you get a chill up and down your spine, yeah, if you get a chill up and down your spine today or tomorrow driving down Fifth Avenue from 7th to 8th Street, it's because you're driving right over the old cemetery site.
Oh, no.
This is the stuff I love when we talk to Mark.
I know. And it's so much of like.
Yeah.
Spooky stories.
You pick up a pie when you go by the cemetery.
History and those spooky stories, they all kind of just, they get entwined together. And man, every time I talk to you, Mark Stopher Hunter, I learn something I did not know.
Why? Spooky tidbits about Cedar Rapids history here, because they, it's fun to think about what used to be somewhere. And I think this, the old cemetery site is really creepy. And they found skeletons from time to time up on the hill there near the Scottish Rite Temple when they were building buildings there. Because we know the early pioneers built family members up on the hill there. So that's another kind of eerie spot up there.
All right. All good to know. Not only for our walk through the Ideal, but maybe a walk through that area coming up next year. Mark Stopher Hunter, thanks for joining us on the Morning Scramble.
All right.
It's the Morning Scramble, C102.9.
Seems like our conversation with Mark Stopher Hunter is still haunting you as we sit here this morning in the safety of the Z studio.
I don't know why, but I'm like sitting there, I'm taking notes, ever the student. I just, I got a little creeped out with all the, like, oh, and there's used to be a cemetery over here, and there might be some bodies over here. Like, this is so creepy.
I mean, and you have to consider, especially any industrial agricultural river town,
right,
had to have mass manufacturing,
right.
The safety standards back in the day weren't the best.
No.
Plus you've got the fact that we were at the Ideal Theater, built by a local family right next to an animal slaughtering facility. Like, I'm sure if there's any belief of anything haunting that building, it's got to be part animal, and I'm sure people as well. Right.
You think it's haunted by animals?
It could be haunted by a cow or a pig.
That could explain some of the very random things that we were getting.
So we started upstairs at the Ideal about 8 o'clock, and I think we gave that a good 20 minutes, and we heard some noises in a corner, got us over to that corner.
Very exciting. And then, you know, things simmer down.
And then we got down to the cellar, and we wanted to bring you one of a few moments in the cellar. So Katie, our paranormal expert, was holding on her phone something called a necrometer. And it's designed for ghost hunters and those who work with paranormal. It's an app that detects variances in audio frequencies that you and I can't hear.
Right. But then it allows a spirit to kind of give us a word or a phrase that they want us to know.
We were in that cellar for about 3 or 4 minutes, just kind of walking around. And that's when the necrometer just wanted to talk.
Excuse?
Well,
what
excuse?
Kind of
excuse?
Uplifts.
Stairs? Near the stairs? Just looking to see if any of these bricks look like
flood. Flood. It just said flood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was this flooded?
I can't hear.
I can't hear.
Because you're underwater?
Hmm.
You can talk to us.
I could say ground. That's got to be really scary if you can't hear.
I need to see if there's any. It all looks like.
Look down.
What?
We've got two hints,
right? Haunted doll.
Haunted doll? Do you have a doll here?
I hope not.
There's a haunted doll in this basement, I believe.
I'm running out. I think haunted doll is further than I want to go tonight.
When the necrometer said haunted doll, we were about ready to call it.
Yeah, I was like, right, I'm done. Like, Shaggy is getting out of here. Zoinks, Scoob. I'm done.
The amount of information that came out, that was just a minute. And what, in the first 20 seconds, excuse, uplifts, flood, and I can't hear. Then we got looked down. Haunted doll, part of me wonders if, like, the app thinks it hears one thing and just pulls the closest thing to that.
Right. It was trying to say one thing. Maybe it's
possibly.
I don't know, but haunted doll was a creepy thing for it to say.
And that was in the basement of the Ideal, which we just learned from Mark Stover Hunter. At one point, would have had a series of tunnels. It looked like things for sure had been walled up because it was just basically a chamber.
Right. However, we did hear that if you go to one door over and you go to BOMAX, they're like, you can definitely see that there's an archway here, and it was connected. You could see that there were there's a pathway that would have gone straight to the Ideal Theater.
So we had the necrometer going. We had the motion detector going. We had the K2, which detects electromagnetic frequency. We're going to bring you everything from upstairs and downstairs. That's all coming up tomorrow morning, just after 7 o'clock, a very special ghost hunting morning scramble. Ooh. Tomorrow on Z102.9.
It's the Morning Scramble's three-song showdown on Z102.9.
Okay, let's hear the selections.
Take the word song out.
Yep.
Add the word sweet. It is a three-sweet showdown. Just going head-to-head. Producer Ben's still on vacation. So it's our top three Halloween candies as the list put together as authored by the Morning Scramble, Dan, Eric Hansen, and Claire.
Yeah, our Halloween candies, the things that we look for in our trick-or-treat buckets as we went from door to door, I would often, like, trade up. And these are the three that I was really on the hunt for, switching, making deals with my sisters to get these.
How close are you guys in age?
We're all 3 years apart.
See, I had five between me and Greg.
Would you just take?
So I would just take.
You wouldn't make a deal?
No, deals at all. Big brother wins every time. Big brother.
Oh,
strong arm my way. That little Mickey Mouse costume I had on had the vengeance of a thousand suns, and I was stealing candy from a baby. Literally.
Wow.
Taking candy from a baby.
Oh.
Well, if he came back with Twix or M&M's, those were hot to grab because those are my favorites.
Those are yours.
M&M's is right at the top of my list. I also love good caramel out of Twix. I've really come to appreciate Twizzlers now as I've grown older, but it was a fun surprise because you didn't see a lot of it back when I was younger. So that's up there just because it was the surprise quotient. And also, it's a very fun interactive candy, right? It can be a straw.
It's like a rope.
It's like a rope. It's got a different texture. It's not chocolate. So that made it at the number three on my sweet showdown. Twizzlers 3, Twix at number 2, which I taught you yesterday how I eat a Twix.
Mm-hmm. Bizarre. You're like the Buffalo Bill of candy.
I kind of skin it. I take off all of the chocolate and the caramel before I get to the candy cookie. And then M&M's, man. It's just a fun, interactive treat.
I eat the Twix layer by layer.
Also, you know, when I do have the Twix, I do enjoy it with some fava beans.
And a nice Chianti. Ah, gross. I totally understand, though, the reasoning of your list. I don't understand the way you eat a Twix bar. I think it's gross. But I do understand the Twizzlers at the bottom, because my number three spot is Swedish Fish. I think I discovered it out of my youngest sister, Maggie's trick-or-treat bucket. She had a Swedish Fish, and I'm like, what are these gross? Why are they shaped like fish?
Yeah.
But then you eat it, and it's like, oh, this gummy candy is like a gummy candy that knows somebody.
I don't know. It tastes different than just the gummy bear.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in the secret sauce, but I do like a good Swedish Fish.
Yeah, the flavor is just so good. I don't appreciate the fish shape, but I do appreciate the flavor, so Swedish Fish. Number two, Milky Way. And if I had to be really specific, I would say Milky Way Midnight. The dark chocolate is just so good.
There used to be those Hershey miniatures in the darks I never liked, right? Because that was the adult. I thought Mr. Good Bars and the dark candy was for the adults.
Yes.
And then you had a bite of it as a kid. And then you add, like you just said, for Milky Way, you add some caramel to that.
Yeah.
It's pretty, oh yeah. Milky Way darks, good stuff.
I know. And it seems like you always get the dark, the midnight thing, because it's Halloween and it's like a little spookier. So those, for sure, I would take those. And then I agree with you. Twix, I mean, it's got caramel, it's got chocolate, it's got a cookie in it.
Cookie crunch!
What's not to love about a Twix bar? And if you went to the house that gives out the full-size candy bars, I would always take a Twix, because then it's like, I didn't just get one full-size candy bar, I got two.
Those are our lists for our three-sweet showdown, and we're into the final moments for voting. Who's got the better list? You can vote right now on the Z102.9 Facebook page. We will crown the winner, the king or queen of the candy, coming up next.
Trick or treat!
It's the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
All right, the suspense is killing us. Who is the winner of the three-sweet showdown? We put our lists out yesterday. We've let people vote for about 24 hours. Dancing Eric Hansen coming in with M&M's, Twix, and Twizzlers. Claire, you've got Twix, Milky Way, and Swedish Fish.
Yes, our lists posted. We have let you vote with which list do you most agree with?
And I get it. A lot of people calling us out. No Snickers. No Reese's. Somebody put their list included Mounds and Almond Joy 1-2, followed by Reese's. Quite surprising.
No, I do not agree with that.
Good for you.
No.
You're going to get all those because kids don't like them.
Nope. No, no. That is not, no, that's not my list.
Claire, you've been tallying. Are you ready to declare the winner?
In a very not that close race, I'm ready to give the winner.
I think the winner won 3-1 over the loser.
We didn't need to, we don't need to
say. You don't want
to
put math to it? No,
you don't need any math to it. You won. Okay.
The winner.
You win.
Of the Morning Scramble's first ever three-sweet showdown. Thanks to Twizzlers.
No, thanks to M&M's.
And M&M's for sure.
M&M's did it.
M&M's taking me to the top of the mountain. Taking me to the highest height in Halloween Town so I can look down on the village and say, I won!
King Candy!
Three Sweet Showdown! Your King of the Candy, Dancing Eric Hansen!
It's the Morning Scramble, Z102.9.
Happy Halloween.
I'm just envisioning a child's going to come to my door tomorrow night.
They will.
And they're going to look at it, the whole rotisserie chicken, and like Jack Skeleton, they're going to say, what's this? What's this?
What's this? What? Why?
Why?
Well, here's the thing, child. It's a dream. And when you have something as an adult that's called a vision board, you have to complete the vision.
It's on the board, children.
Yeah.
Ever since last Halloween, it's been our dream to walk in the footsteps of one homeowner somewhere in Massachusetts who opted to give out rotisserie chickens or full-size candy bars just as a public experiment.
It was so bold. It was so brave. It was so nutty that we wanted to do the exact same thing.
And we are. So we've already tried it once at a trunk or treat using chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say it, about every 9 to 12 kids, one would take a nugget. I'm not going to have that many rotisserie chickens, but I will have a selection.
And
we are a full-size candy bar house, so we will give some kids an option, full-size candy bar or full-size rotisserie chicken.
I think that's going to be a harder thing to take
sell than
with
a
you.
Nugget.
Nugget was pretty much eaten instantaneously.
That's right. It's eat and walk.
It's going to be harder to eat a chicken as you go.
There's going to be decisions made. The kid might be happy to be offered chicken, but mom or dad is like, oh, you got to walk 4 more blocks carrying a chicken.
From what I recall from the story, the guy who handed out the rotisserie chickens was getting far more dads interested in the rotisserie chickens.
Interesting.
So you might have some interested parents.
Well, my plan is 4:30-esque, go out, load up the car of rotisserie chickens.
I want to also see what happens when you go to a store and say, yes, I would like to buy all of those rotisserie chickens.
You see that whole selection of chickens? I want all of them.
Yes, please.
It's like when I buy bread bowls for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Right?
I would like all of them,
I would like all of them, please. I would like all of your rotisserie chickens and any rotisserie chickens you have in the back.
What about the people behind you?
Tough. They're my rotisserie chickens.
I was here first.
I believe it's called Finders Keepers. And then I'm going to take those chickens home. And then I got a ton of like plastic grocery bags so I could just bag them up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have one on display.
Yeah.
And then I will offer up a rotisserie chicken to random children at my door. It's like, look, we have all these full-size candy bars or a rotisserie chicken.
I love the idea of a display chicken. Yeah. Get it all like it's the most beautiful.
I might plate it.
Yeah.
Right. So they know exactly what's in that container.
Take it out of the plastic kind of like casing kind of thing and have it on a nice platter.
Let me write down sprigs of rosemary.
Yeah. Maybe a little thyme sprinkle on there. Yeah.
Half lemon just for color.
A wedge.
Wedge of lemon.
Yeah, a wedge of lemon. Maybe any sachet of herbs that you happen to have about the house.
And this is the...
Of course, you have a sachet of herbs.
That's why I just skipped over that. You know I have a sachet of herbs.
You know Dancing Eric Hansen, he's packing a sachet of herbs.
I was just thinking how hard it is to not eat the candy you're handing out. I can't touch that chicken for 2 hours.
No, you cannot.
It's going to look so good.
Mm-hmm.
Sachet of herbs.
And now that you're dressing it
quarter lemon? Sprig of rosemary?
I'm hungry now.
Those little kids don't know what they're getting.
It sounds so good.
Full-size rotisserie chickens on the menu. Halloween night, Dancing Eric Hansen's house. Happy Halloween.
You'll float down here. We'll float down here.
It's the Morning Scramble, Z102.9.
Hey, we're going to be eating a lot of candy in the next day or two or three.
Four. Five.
Who knows? Okay. It's just whatever is left over from the trick-or-treaters or whatever we can steal from our kids' bags.
Give it to me.
Who can take a sunrise?
Who can take a sunrise?
Sprinkle it with you. Sprinkle
I'll be your candy man.
Sure.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle to the candy man.
But sometimes you can overdo it just a little bit, you know, and like all that candy in your system, it's like sugar. And it might just kind of like, it might wreak havoc a little bit. You know what I mean? You know?
Sure.
So you need to kind of get things back on track afterwards. I just saw a little like life hack thing. If you have gone to the candy bowl one too many times, you can put things back on track with sauerkraut.
Get out of here.
Sauerkraut?
How?
If you go way hard on the candy, you eat a bunch of sauerkraut because it's got the 4 F's. Fiber, fats, phytochemicals, and it's a fermented food.
Okay, so fermented food.
Yeah.
Like kombucha?
Yeah, kombucha, like yogurt, like kimchi. Any of those would be good too. But sauerkraut is particularly good because it's got all that stuff that's going to like be gut healthy.
Yeah.
And then it's got the fiber in there too. So
it's like a traffic cop tells the candy, move along now.
Keep on moving,
move
candy.
Move along now.
Come on, candy, keep it moving.
Get out of this vessel. Move along now. I'm sauerkraut. The traffic control cop of the gut.
Yes, it is the traffic control cop of the gut. Keep it moving now.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut.
This is the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Sad news yesterday. Actress Terry Garr died after a long battle with multiple sclerosis at age 79 years old. She had so many iconic roles in so many iconic movies. Close Encounters with the Third Kind, Mr. Mom, After Hours, The Player, Dumb and Dumber, just to name a few. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress Oscar in Tootsie in 1982.
Just think of the names she worked with.
Yeah.
Right? Richard Dreyfuss, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That was a Steven Spielberg movie. Tootsie, that's Dustin Hoffman, right?
I think the biggest thing, though, is, and most iconic, was Young Frankenstein. I mean, that was huge.
Kipper?
Thank you, Doctor.
As the minuteness of the parts formed a great hindrance to my speed, I resolved, therefore, to make the creature of a gigantic stature. Of course. That would simplify everything.
In other words, his veins, his feet, his hands, his organs would all have to be increased in size.
Exactly.
He would have an enormous Schwanzstucker.
That goes without saying.
Oof.
He's going to be very popular.
Gene Wilder is in this, that yes. clip, directed by Mel Brooks.
Yes, and actually Mel Brooks tweeted yesterday. He said, so very sorry to hear about Terry Garr's passing. She was so talented and so funny. Her humor and lively spirit made the Young Frankenstein set a pleasure to work on. Her German accent had us all in stitches. She will be greatly missed, which is really sweet to hear from him. I also did not know that Terry Garr's career in Hollywood went all the way back to like the Elvis movies.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot here again, but wasn't there a thing with you and Elvis? I mean, you knew Elvis, right? Did you know Elvis or
yes,
not?
Yes, I did.
You worked with Elvis,
the
right?
King, uh-huh.
Yeah, in films. What film were you in with Elvis?
Yeah. Viva Las Vegas, Roustabout.
There you go.
Kissing Cousins, all the good ones.
Yeah. And you can still see these all the time on television. And so when we see you and Elvis, we can now know that there was a...
Oh, yeah, big time.
I bet he asked you out all the time.
No.
Sure he did.
No, he didn't.
You know you're not under oath.
All right. Elvis and I. Bang, bang.
Sure, Dave. Whatever. Whatever you want. They were great together, too. I got to do a sad breakup. We got such a sad breakup to tell you about. Multiple sources now confirming that it is off. The engagement is over. Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz will not be walking down the aisle. They've called off the engagement. They've called off the relationship. They've been together for 3 years and got engaged actually last year around this time at a Halloween party. Zoe went and had a big engagement ring on her finger, and then they confirmed that, yes, they were engaged.
Are you sure they didn't go as an engaged couple?
I'm positive.
Was that the costume?
I'm positive, because then it was like, wait, is that engagement ring? Is it part of the costume? And they're like, nope, it's an engagement ring. They're engaged, and they're going to get married, and blah, blah, blah.
And that was just last year.
Now, she was spotted in public recently without the engagement ring, and then, you know, it's unclear why the breakup, what happened. I don't have any confirmation on that, but multiple sources are saying that, it's off, it's over. They're not together anymore, but I don't have... the why.
Do you think it's her dad, Lenny Kravitz?
You think it's Lenny.
And it's not like nobody's going to marry my daughter. It's like Lenny wears mesh shirts.
Like that's hard to compete with.
Hot versus hot. Yeah.
So like Lenny has aged slow, like a fine wine.
Yeah, he's an Adonis.
And Channing's going to have to keep up with that.
Yes. That's what I'm worried about.
That's a lot of pressure on
Maybe
one
they
man.
Went to work out once. Future father-in-law and son, and like Lenny shows up in leather pants.
Yeah,
and
that's how he works out.
Channing Tatum's like, what? He's wearing, you know, the baggy pants he wears when he dances.
Yeah,
I think it's Lenny.
That's probably it.
I'm blaming Lenny Kravitz for the breakup.
Zoe, we can't get married. I'm too intimidated by your dad's leather pants.
That's it. Yes, I'm sure that's exactly how the text went.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and he did it via text.
I can't. I'm too embarrassed to tell you face to face, Zoe.
He broke it off via text.
That's just, I'm extrapolating.
Yeah.
But this is how I see it going down.
You know what? Until we have other proof of anything else, that's what all we have to go off of, okay?
That's got
to
be it.
Channing, Zoe, you're going to have to give us your side of the story, or else we're going to take Dancing Eric Hansen's.
The intimidation of Lenny Kravitz. That's my belief.
It's all we have to go off of right now. Okay. We can no longer say that nobody liked Joker Foile Adieu, okay? Nobody wanted to touch it after it came out, and it was just kind of a box office flop. It was like, ew, yuck, no, don't get...
This happens a lot in Hollywood where a movie just doesn't take off, but when you had Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix...
You think you'd have everything.
It's the same directorial team, right? It's a sequel of a movie that did so, so well.
I know. And I've got some good news for the Joker folks because they just got their first rave review from a big name in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, now that guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Oscar winner.
Oscar winning.
Yes.
Director. I mean,
Pulp Fiction.
He knows his stuff,
well,
right?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. got a lot of buzz.
Yep.
So he liked it.
Quentin Tarantino had this to say in his review. He said, I am just nihilistic enough to kind of enjoy a movie that doesn't quite work as a movie. That's just a big, giant mess to some degree. I didn't find it an intellectual exercise. I really got caught up into it. I really liked the musical sequences. I really thought the more banal the songs were, the better they were. Apparently the songs are awful. He also added that, think of it like this. Instead of focusing on the plot of Joker Foile Adieu, think of it like back up a little bit.
Wait,
like,
the thing we're all supposed to focus on, don't focus on.
Don't focus on the plot.
Back up how far?
A little bit further. Step outside of the movie. Like, okay. Like this. Think of it like this. Quentin Tarantino says, the director, Todd Phillips, is the Joker. He said the Joker directed the movie, the entire concept, even him spending the studio's money, he's spending it like the Joker would spend it, right? His big surprise gift, the Jack in the Box, when he offers you his hand for a handshake and you get a buzzer with 10,000 volts shooting into you as the comic book geeks, he's like a big bleep you to all of them.
Smell my flower. Oh God, there's acid in your eyes. Gotcha.
Yeah gotcha.
That's
his thought. He also thinks Joaquin Phoenix acting was one of the best performances he's ever seen in his lifetime.
Why is no one else agreeing? Is it just the whole movie is so bad?
I think because usually when you watch a movie, you're supposed to watch the movie and see, do I like the movie? And nobody likes the movie. But he's watching it as like, look at this project. And if you look at the whole project, like, that's kind of interesting.
It's like Hollywood goulash.
It
just
is.
A mess, just a mash of stuff.
What a big, beautiful slop of goulash. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.